Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Friday, June 24th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for almost 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional experience into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's a simple PDF file. Click the link, download it, print it off, copy it as often as you'd like, and use it over and over again, absolutely free. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. If you choose to tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one where people have been stepped through the worksheet process and repeated reviewing of those audio files can serve as a tutorial for this work and accelerate your ability to get high-level benefit from the application of the worksheet process in your life. And we hope people do that soon and often because many people experience it leads to an improved quality of life. And also because it tends to stimulate comments, questions, answers, testimonials. And if you have any of those to share with us, please give us a call at 563-999-3581. Or you can send an email, tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. Or you can email Jeannie at jeannie@whyagain.org, whyagain.org. And if you send us an email with a comment or a question, we will address it on the internet show, and then as time allows, send you an email letting you know what day and time we address the comments, questions, answers, or testimonials so you can review it in the archives. And we have plenty of time for comments and questions. We basically wrapped up the Lesson 13 in Way of Mastery yesterday for the second time through. And we have time to field comments or questions or testimonials and or suggestions about where and when to move forward or to go back to a particular point in the way of mastery for review, for its relevance. Again, the call-in number is 563-999-3581. And if you call that number and press 1, it will let me know that you have a comment or a question, and I will turn on the microphone and announce you by your area code. We had a support group last night, and we ended up just having conversation and discussion. We didn't listen to a Guy Finley talk or a Michael Rice lecture. And the lesson that we might move on into with lesson 14 has a rather triggering title for some. It's called The Wise Use of Time. And when we've reviewed this lesson in the support group over the years, there have been some people who get quite triggered. They use this as they place an interpretation on this that says they're doing things wrong or they're being told they're doing things wrong. And, of course, if we take any one aspect of this work or any other work and isolate it and take it out of context, we can make it mean just about anything that we want to make it mean. However, there are all kinds of other references within this work where it says you're completely free to choose however you want to spend your time. You can spend your time and mental energy on thoughts of not being enough, not being good enough, not being powerful or expansive. You can spend your mind energy on thoughts of being a victim of the world you see. And that's not going to disturb anybody's peace but your own. You have the ability to choose whether or not you're going to generate joy and peace or whether you're going to choose to generate the emotions of negativity and conflict and less than and strife and struggle. And the way that's being recommended for this way of mastery, and there's even a specific lesson titled The Way is Easy and Without Effort. And the pathway that they're laying out for us is one where we learn to use the intellect for a very limited purpose. And one shorthand way to talk about that is that I can use my intellect to notice when my intellect is failing. When my intellect has tried 137,000 different things and I'm still not getting any results that I want. Now, the intellect is not going to come up with the answer to help me get the results I want. It can only be used to notice, to flag for me how it keeps working at cross purposes. How relying on the intellect as my guide or my leader or my God is doomed from the get-go. And if I tune my intellect, my observational skills, to alert me to where any negative emotion signals the error in my own thought, and that any further thought at that point with, you know, the idea of trying to figure things out is fruitless. That I need a shift in energy and perspective that goes beyond the conscious logical mind and the intellect. Because otherwise, whatever I do is just doing more of the same stuff that's created the original problem, and hoping against hope that it will someday get better. So I can take this title of this lesson, The Wise Use of Time, and I can generate some thoughts that say, this book is telling me that I'm wasting my time and wasting my life and that I'm doing it wrong. Or I can remember how many other times in this work it has said, you're perfectly free to choose how you will use your mind energy and your time. And that those decisions you make are not going to affect anybody else, just like the decisions other people make aren't affecting you. One of the lessons that we read said, all events are neutral. And as we were reading through that lesson, it was trying to help us clarify that while all events are neutral, your thoughts about them are not. My thoughts about them are not neutral. It's my thoughts about them. It's my interpretation. It's my judgment. It's my labeling. It's my insisting that I know right, wrong, good, bad, up, down, etc. That's the thing that creates my experience of it. And that is not neutral. So we're invited to choose. We're invited to stay eyes wide open in the observational mode and notice when we choose a certain pattern of thought or action or interpretation for these life events, whether or not we enjoy or like or appreciate or prefer the consequences that follow. And we're invited to step into this level of observation and shifting of the focus of our mind energy moment to moment, day to day, because that is how we construct our experience of life. You know, one of my favorite examples of this is the people who have all kinds of money and they travel to the south of France and they're at a top of the line motel and they're out on a balcony overlooking the beautiful river and the colors and sounds of the perfect weather day, and they're enjoying their room service breakfast, caviar and all this stuff, and it's a romantic time, and this loving couple are there, and all of a sudden one of them flies into a rage because there's pulp in the orange juice. You know, I had a friend once who said to me, Tim, the only way I can help you understand that how my husband and I, and they were both psychologists at the time, how we ended up getting divorced, the only way I can help you understand that is, the shortcut is, we have had knockdown, drag-out arguments in some of the most beautiful places around the globe. So they were highly intelligent people. They were highly motivated. They had great work ethics. They made a lot of money. And they traveled on these vacations. And routinely, one or the other of them would go into a rage about some aspect of the life that was unfolding in front of them that didn't perfectly match what they wanted it to be. That's not a very wise use of time, to be in such a beautiful space. You know, the kind of place that most people on the planet will never get to see, even in a magazine, let alone get to inhabit the hotel room with the beautiful view and have all the money to not even worry about ordering room service and all of that, and then to be upset about some minor detail. This book would say that's not a very wise use of time. Is it bad? Is it wrong? No. It's just going to produce certain results. And what we're encouraged to do in this work is to constantly observe, do we like what we've created as this experience of life in this moment? And if we don't, and we would prefer something else, we're invited to use the tools to change our perception and our experience of life. So lesson 14 begins with the title, The Wise Use of Time. And the text reads, We trust that this moment finds you willing to be wholly, completely, totally where you are right now. We would trust then that in this moment, you are willing to assume responsibility for the choices you have made, the choices that have literally created the environment that you are experiencing in this moment. The chair in which you sit, the walls around you, the things that hang upon those walls, the individuals with whom you find yourself in close proximity, the individuals with whom you find yourself in relationship, the individuals with whom you work, those with whom you play, and those with whom you share. We would trust that this moment finds you, the listener, the holy child of the Creator, at play in the kingdom of Christ. And if not, if you're aware within yourself of some thought like, well, that's not quite the perspective from which I was beginning my reading of this lesson. I thought I was going to sit down and listen to Christ. Close quotes. If there be some element, some touch, or some trace within you of that perspective, then we suggest that you pause right now. And as you do so, abide by yourself and take several deep breaths, if you wish. If you wish, you can go back to the 5-minute exercise of simply being the presence of Christ. For well do we perceive that many of you have already forgotten that exercise even exists. At the end of the 5 minutes, simply remind yourself that what is true always is always true, and only, capital L, love is real. And what is real cannot be threatened by what does not truly exist. Right? This is right out of the beginning of the Course in Miracles. Right? What is real cannot be threatened. Only love is real. In each moment in which your perceptions are less than flowing from the remembrance of who you are, you have been in a hallucination. You've been in an unreality. And when you notice this, we suggest you take the time and use it constructively by returning your awareness to the truth of who you are. Pause in your reading. Pause in your listening to this tape, if you must. This work will be here when you get back. But you'll get the best benefit out of this work when you are actively absorbing it, letting it in through the filter that you are birthing a Christ in this moment. The lesson goes on and says, the way of transformation is simple. For the way of efforting one's way into the kingdom cannot flow from the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This is one of the pieces that we mentioned again last night in the support group. This work has called us to stop thriving. Stop striving is the word I meant to say there. Stop striving for something and move into allowing. Allowing your true nature to be realized. Allowing the creative force that gave rise to you and that wants to flow through you, allowing that to flow through you. Asking for its guidance and allowing it to teach you. Move out of striving, which is everything our culture teaches us, and move into allowance and surrender. The way of transformation is simple. For the way of efforting one's way into the kingdom cannot flow from the guidance of the Holy Spirit. For where there is effort, there is a separate will, something called the ego, that believes itself to be and would love to convince you of this, that it is small, powerless, and it knows that it is pervaded by fear. Love, capital L love, requires no effort, only the little willingness that is necessary to allow it to flow. Allow it to flow from the depth of your being through you, that it might be extended throughout creation. This is part of why they said in a previous lesson, the way is easy and without effort. Well, how could the way be easy? I don't know the answer. I've got to find the answer. I've got to work it out. The entire lesson 10 says, the way is easy and without effort. Well, how could that be when I don't know what to do? Well, the answer is because you don't need to figure out what to do. Your intellect is not there to help you figure out what to do. Your intellect is a very limited, very simple tool to be picked up in certain situations, to figure out how to get the car to run, or what length to cut this board to mend the fence, or what ingredients to put in the meal that you're making. That's what the intellect is for. All of this other stuff about bliss, about connection, about experiencing yourself as the Christ and love, all of that has to come from another source. In this work, they call it the awakened heart. They call it the way of the heart. But the fact of the matter is, we can use our intellect to understand that we know almost nothing of any value with our intellect. We don't know who created us, how or why. We don't know when we were created. We don't know what our brother or sister needs. That's why in this work, at one point, it coined the term divine ignorance. Go into this wide open and realizing how little we actually know and how limited the intellect is. One of the phrases they gave us earlier in this work was that your intellect can only churn away at the trivialities that have been shoved into it, like garbage into a garbage can. And when I say that, it reminds me of in the computer world when we were moving into, you know, in the cusp of things back in 1980, and they were starting to talk about personal computers and programming things. One of the things you heard most often was garbage in, garbage out. Right? If you want something useful, you have to make sure that the program you're using is well constructed and that the data you're using is valid, because if you put corrupt data in, you get corrupt answers. If you put a program with a bug in it, you get garbage answers. Well, our intellect can only give us more of what it's already been filled with, the trivialities, as this book calls it. So the way of transformation, just like the way of the heart, is not the way of the intellect. It's the way of allowing It's the way of putting aside striving and have the little willingness that's necessary to allow this wisdom, this creative energy, this insight to flow from the depth of your being through you so that it might be extended throughout creation. The text goes on and says, "Beloved friends, the way of transformation requires only that you extend to yourself the willingness necessary to put into practice using time differently. No, it does not mean that you have to quit your job and go to live in a little hut on top of a mountain somewhere. Even if you did that, you would not necessarily use time differently. However, it does mean that you begin with the simple recognition that there can be no set of perceived circumstances that truly have the power to separate you from your Creator. No set of circumstances, no set of relationships, not the weather, not the amount of money that you're allowing yourself to receive for the expenditure of your time. There is nothing in the world that has the power to separate you from your Creator. Now, there's all kinds of things that we can use to create the dream of separation, the belief, the experience, the hallucination of a separation, and yet it's never happened. The force that gave rise to you pervades everything and is always here, and you are connected to it as you are connected to everything. And that is not something that our intellectual mind can wrap itself around. It can argue against it. It can say that pie in the sky, willy-nilly, spiritual mumbo-jumbo, but the intellectual mind cannot comprehend the experience that those words are pointing at. So they just keep reminding us, when you are having an experience of being depressed, angry, sad, alone, overwhelmed, abandoned, betrayed, etc., because you are creating that experience based on your use of the intellect and the mind energy. And none of that ever changes the instant, constant supply, connection, flow of energy from the creative source into and through you. You cannot be separated from your source. What this work is trying to tell us is that you have been given the ability to create your experience of life moment to moment. And you are the one creating your experience of everyone else that you interact with. It's like the research from our scientists on perception, and you can watch videos by Anil Seth about how we hallucinate our perception. And you can go to the CIA website and, you know, search for a chapter of a book. The book was titled, "Why Can't We See What Is There to Be Seen?" And that chapter of that book is just the research they have on how our minds do not record reality. They construct reality. And that's why five of us can be in a room having a conversation and leave and have three or four or five different interpretations of what was said or what happened. Each and every one of us is using a tiny bit of information that's hitting our senses, and we're using a tiny fraction of the information that's hitting our senses to formulate the images and pictures and thoughts and emotions that we create. It's an inside job. the text goes on to say, you are the one who holds dominion over all things. What does this idea of dominion mean? It means that you are the one who is the source of the power that can choose how you will see what is around you, how you will perceive it, and what you will believe most about it. You are the one with the power to penetrate the illusory veil of the world and see the heart, the essence, the truth, the Christ child in everything, whether it be a blade of grass, the cry of a child, the barking of a dog, the coming of the mail with the bills. All of it is simply the energy of creation expressing in form. There is a shimmering radiance that lies underneath everything you perceive through your mind's eye. The text goes on and says, therefore, the way of transformation does not require you to change your circumstances. It merely requires that you change your attitude toward your circumstances by recognizing that your circumstances are harmless and by recognizing that you have called all things to yourself. There are many that would teach you that you must sit around and ponder why you did this and why you did that. And I say unto you that all that is required is to begin with the willingness to accept that in the great mystery of consciousness, you are the power and the source for all that you think, all that you see, all that you feel, and all that you would be and do. You abide in that freedom constantly. Now, we don't all use it positively or constructively. I have a friend who is going on a trip, and she got back from the trip, and she said, I couldn't believe it. We had wonderful weather. We went on this fabulous tour. We had everywhere from adequate to wonderful accommodations. And the person I was with complained about everything. Everything. I remember, I think it was Alan Cohen who told the story of somebody who came to one of his seminars. He had a retreat, and he'd gone to great expense to try and ensure that the accommodations were nice, and there was this one woman there who, you know, at the end of it, he was, you know, getting into a debriefing, and she just had nothing good to say about where they stayed. And he started thinking, well, maybe he shouldn't host another retreat there again. I mean, his accommodations were nice, but you know, she had so much to complain about. Somewhere down the line, to somebody else who'd been on a trip with this woman, and they'd gone to this 5-star hotel, and all she did was complain about everything in the hotel. So Alan realized, oh, it wasn't a valid assessment of the lodging and accommodations. It was the filter through which this woman was viewing everything in her life. Imagine having the money to travel the world, to go on to every continent, to go in the highest level of accommodations, and being able to choose anger, bitterness, resentment everywhere you go. That's the freedom that we're being told we have. Now, many of us say, that's ridiculous. Why would I spend my time that way? And yet, we end up doing it day in and day out without realizing it. The vast majority of people who are going to be hearing this word through this audio file, hearing it live or listening to the archives, the vast majority of people who are going to be hearing these words are living in probably the top, 15 to 20% of quality of life on the planet. They're going to have a house that's relatively climate controlled and a vehicle if they choose, or maybe they'll be living in a city and using, public transportation, but they'll have the money to go to places and eat out if they choose, and running hot and cold running water. This is a quality of life that kings and emperors didn't have for thousands of years on this planet. It's become commonplace on several of the more advanced cultures. We call them advanced, but intellectually, financially, industrially advanced. At the same time, our depression rate and anxiety rate and suicide rates are skyrocketing. So clearly it's not enough to have all of these material accoutrements. So the Way of Mastery in Lesson 14 on the wise use of time, it goes on and it says, the way of transformation then rests very simply on the following quote. Questions for me to ask. How will I decide to use my time? Finding myself here in this moment, can I remember that I am free to see things differently? Can I remember that I am free to look lovingly on this world and my life circumstances and everything going on around me? Can I remember that I do not need to wait for something outside of myself to create a stimulus that elicits a loving response? I can initiate the loving response. It's my true nature. It's a filter that's available to me every moment of every day. That's what the way of transformation rests on. How will I decide to use my time? As I find myself here in this moment, can I remember that I am free to see things differently? Can I remember that I'm free to look lovingly upon the world, regardless of its circumstances? Can I remember that I do not need to wait for something outside of myself to change that will bring out, elicit from me a loving response? I am free. I am free. I am free. I'm free to choose to teach only love in this moment. How do I do that? By sharing only loving thoughts. The text goes on and says, you do not need to wait for your mate to come and give you the hug that you want so much. You do not need to wait until your mother calls you on the phone and begs for your forgiveness for how cruelly she treated you when you were growing up. You do not need to wait until the current president is no longer in the White House. You do not need to wait for the contest that comes in the mail to make you the winner that brings you millions of dollars. You do not need to wait for that to happen. Right now, you are the one that is free. But perhaps you have imprisoned yourself by waiting for love to show up outside of you, thinking that that will trigger a response within you when you feel it or recognize it, so that hopefully, finally, you start to feel loving. Those that know aloneness are not limited in extending love. And those that know loneliness yet retain the power to make the decision to love. It can never be taken from you. So here's a simple exercise we wish to give you. When next you find yourself alone and perhaps feeling just a little lonely, and you notice that the mind is spinning with thoughts, and you're feeling perhaps just a little weak and out of sorts, pick up your telephone book. You can tell this book was written a while ago. Most people don't even have a telephone book. But pick up a telephone book, take a few deep breaths, and with each breath, say to yourself, in reality, I remain as I am created to be. I am the holy offspring of the Creator. And then merely open the book, place your hand on one of the pages with the many names and numbers, and just feel your way to a specific name and number. You will know the feeling. And then, just for the fun of it, call that person. And when they answer the phone, merely say, I'm not here to sell you anything. I just need about 15 seconds of your time. I know you've never met me, but I was just sitting in my chair remembering that the truth is true always. And I'm calling to remind you that you are loved by God. You have never failed. You've never done anything wrong. You remain pure and innocent even now. And I just wanted to give my blessings to you. Have a nice day. Goodbye. For you see, the world in which you live has but one purpose. It is the same purpose that all dimensions of creation have. That purpose is to be the extension of the Creator's love. For that is what creation is. Creative energy extending, creating, extending, blossoming, creating, extending. And then to extend that love from that world, from that dimension, that's the purpose. Each and every one of you has but one treasure, only one treasure. It is not your child. It is not your spouse. It is not the new car in the garage. Your treasure is your reality as the unlimited, holy, and only begotten offspring of creation. You are a field of consciousness through which the Creator would extend itself. And if you choose to adopt that vision, that purpose, that sense of purpose, you can make that your experience of life, that you're here for no other reason than to experience life and love and extend it in every interaction with every person and everything. In an earlier lesson, they told us, you know, it is absolutely ridiculous to go looking for love from another person. It's absolutely a waste of time to try and convince other people that you love them. And yet, it is highly recommended that you do whatever work it takes for you to recognize that your true nature is that energy of love. Some call it the creative flow, creative energy, life, God, love, all that is, light. And it's highly recommended that you tap into that awareness of your true nature and then actively extend that experience, that energetic experience of your true nature to everyone and everything you interact with. Why? Because the next heading, the next segment has the title of the heading is, Your Joy is Found in Extending Your Treasure. Well, why, if I have all of this creative energy in me, why don't I just hold on to it? Because it's not a zero-sum game. It's not like I have 100 units of it, and if I give 50 away, I've only got 50 left. And then if I give somebody else 25, I've only got 25 left. And then I see somebody who's really needy, and I give them 20, and I've only got 5 left. It just doesn't work that way. This is the creative energy which is always in a flow of exchange and can't be created and it can't be destroyed. It simply changes form. And the more you give it, the more you get the experience of it. This means that if this is your only treasure, and that treasure, your only treasure, is the truth that reality is that you are the extension of the creative energy in form. You are holy. You are the only begotten offspring of the Creator. You are a field of consciousness through which creation itself would flow and extend itself. This means that if this is truly your only treasure, your greatest joy will be discovered as you cultivate within yourself the habits of mind, the habits of body, the habits of choice that begin to align what you think, what you see, and what you do with the truth that is true always. For your joy will be found as you recognize that you exist only to extend your treasure. As you do so, you immediately add to the Creator's treasure. The Creator's only will is to extend that which it is forever, unbounded and unlimited. And the Creator is but love. The grand thing about love is this. It does not require any set of conditions to exist before it does. How is this different than some of the things that you experience in life? Well, as a body, there are certain conditions that must exist before the body can be satisfied with food or water. There must be certain conditions that are met before the body stops shivering against the cold. Your world is based on the topsy-turvy perception that conditions must be met before there can be a choice for peace instead of war, or a choice for forgiveness instead of judgment, or for a choice for love instead of fear. Therefore, you think, well, when the conditions outside of me change, then I'll make the choice for love. I have said that the world is merely the reflection of the insane choice to deny love and to be devoted to fear. This world that we have created is diametrically opposed to the truth of the kingdom, of what actually is. The world we have created with our thoughts and our judgments and our perceptions and our fear and our hallucination of separation is the opposite of what actually was created with the flow of creative energy from the mind of the Christ, the mind of the Creator. So the way of transformation rests on the complete reversal of the thought system you have learned in the world. But that thought system is not merely the practice of new ideas that get repeated ad nauseum in your mind. The reversal of thought must permeate the entire field of the body-mind, because the entire field of the body-mind is nothing more than the field of your consciousness, so that you know in a felt sense down in the marrow of your bones that change has occurred. When that happens, you'll find yourself in a set of circumstances that once seemed to elicit judgment or fear or anger or hurt or sadness, and you'll have the recognition that, wow, my goodness, my whole body feels different. I just feel like being loving. I feel totally safe. Wow, what's the big deal here? I remember when these kinds of situations and circumstances would have elicited sadness or hurt or fear or anger. And now, I just think it's a beautiful place to be because here I can extend the love of Christ. Wow, what a joy. What a treasure. Thank the Creator. I have this moment in which I can be the blessing that blesses this world. That's how you'll know that you've stepped into the way of transformation. You'll notice yourself being in situations that used to elicit fear, anger, upset, worry, negativity, judgment, and you'll feel everything about your experience is different. You'll remember how it used to trigger you to upset, and you'll just revel in your ability to tap into your true nature as love and extend that energy to everyone and everything around you. What is the world, if not each moment of relationship in which you find yourself? So, beloved friends, the use of time is pivotal. The use of time determines at all levels what you will experience in your tomorrows. Long after the body ceases to be the teaching and learning device that you are most attached to, long after the body dies, you will indeed be continually stepping into your tomorrows. For you are that sunbeam sent forth from the sun, from the mind of the Creator. And that light never stops traveling. To use a spatial term, you will never cease to create. You will never cease to experience. The only choice you ever have is this. Will I assume responsibility for doing whatever I must do to eradicate every misperception, every obstacle to the presence of love? Every limited belief I have ever learned about anyone or anything, especially about myself? When will I choose to assume responsibility for cultivating that perfect remembrance that I and my Father are one, so that I can perceive the real, actual world, the reality, the actuality that shines through everything? When will I do that? That's the only choice. It's not if, it's just when. So we will leave that for our reading for today. We've got about 5 or 6 minutes to take comments or questions or testimonials or answers or weekend plans, favorite songs, movies you hope to see, 563-999-3581. I'm just going to take a breath and settle back and marvel at how, despite all the various times I have read this, how it seems slightly different this time. Not if I will make that choice, but when? When will I choose to take full responsibility for the energy that I extend and for the experience I create for myself moment to moment? It's not about if, it's only about when. Area code 760, you're in the air. Who do we have?
Hi, this is Ann in Florida.
Hello, Ann.
Wow, this is the perfect chapter or heading in this lesson, 14. It seems that I've been getting prepared for this because yesterday I read a phrase that reminded me about the keep doing this. you keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, then you're going to get the results that you've been getting. And, you know, you added to that with this. This morning I picked up a book that I hadn't picked up in a while and fell to a certain page, and there was the word cultivating spirituality on there. And you've used cultivating so much in this work. They've used the word. And it's like, okay, I'm ready. I have still been working on this whole using my time poorly, I guess I'm going to say, with the whole television thing. And it's like, I was already waking up today doing something different in the morning. And breathing, for one thing, just taking some time to breathe and do some stretches. And it's like it started, and then I, you know, get this lesson, and it's like, okay, you know, spiritual resonance is working on me to make better use of my time. So I'm breathing.
Do something
through this.
Differently. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
It is the only way.
Yes, that's what I'm seeing. And so I was ready. It's like I'm prepared for this lesson and moving on. And my intentions are to go back and start with the journal, because that was brought to my attention yesterday. I have several journals over the years, and it's like, okay, go pick one. I did. So, and I have the pen. It's like, well, I'm not going to put it in my planner, right? I'm just going to let it happen. And that's what happened this morning. Just do something different and then let it happen. And then here's this lesson. So thank you. Continuing on. Blessings.
You're most welcome and deserving. Thank you for the call. Area code 541. You're in the air. Is this Celinda?
You?
Are you there, Celinda?
Yes, I am.
Hello. All right.
Hello.
We've only got about a minute.
Okay, this is it. So all I wanted to say is I confirm everything that Ann said except television. I gave up television about 10 years ago. But the message just hit me through between the eyeballs.
It sank in at a different level?
Yes. I have been efforting the whole time, Dr. Tim. Oh, my whole life I've been efforting. That
yeah, and it's one of the examples of how useful it is to go back and highlight the key pieces of this work, because most of us, when we read a thing about moving from striving to allowing, we just skip right past it. And we don't even understand what that might mean the first few times we hear it. But the more we stay with a work like this and let it sink in at deeper and deeper levels, the more we grow in our understanding of what different types of meanings might grow in us for a phrase like that.
And when you said allowing and accepting, I have created a word called thriving instead of striving, and or not thriving, thrival instead of survival. And, yeah, that triggered for me, too. It just really brought them together in, like, a clear focus. So thank you.
You're most welcome and deserving. Thank you for the call. I'll mute you so you can listen to the second hour, and I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. And I hope you
have
a wonderful
weekend.
Have yourself
a fabulous show, and have a wonderful weekend yourself. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. And today is Friday. It's been a fast week, June the 24th, 2022. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you in the queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. While we're waiting on Michael to get dialed in, I'll just say that our app in Google, I think, is finally in review. And I usually have issues with Apple instead of Google, but they were having problems with the fact that one of our links went to events that had a fee to the event, which is, of course, the monthly Mind Shifters and Stillpoint Breathing. And the codependence to interdependence self-study intensive. So temporarily we have taken those off the website. So if you go to the website, the only thing that you'll see under events will be the book club has been going phenomenally. We did that actually again yesterday. We do it the second and the third Thursday of every month. And then you'll also see the free three-hour Why Is This Happening to Me Again, which that's the video of the workshop that Michael did a few weeks ago on June the 11th. And you can watch that either on Vimeo or you can watch it on YouTube for free. So you can go to our website and click on events and you'll find those two events. The other two things are still available, the Mindshifter Stillpoint Breathing monthly. We do that the second Saturday of every month. So that will be coming up on July the 9th, and it's followed up by the next Tuesday, July the 12th, and that'll be the support meeting that we have after the breath workshop. So if you're interested in participating in that, please drop me a line at Jeannie, J-E-A-N-I-E, at whyagain.org, and let me know that you're interested in participating in either one of those. And we welcome Michael to the show.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. Delighted that you're here as we shuffle and balance all of the demands of taking this work on a global level and supporting others who are doing different bodies of work. We just had a meeting this morning with a woman who's working from a different perspective, but in the same field, and Jeannie, with all her genius and experience with developing the app so beautifully, generously gave her some time to give her a foundation and support her in moving forward with developing the app for the work she's doing. And, you know, when you recognize the connectedness of us as human beings, you know, there's a saying that hangs around or has been hung around Darwin's neck, that the world is about survival of the fittest, and nothing could be further from the truth. It leads to nothing but the mass insanity that we see happening, for instance, between Russia and Ukraine and other places in the world. That's what survival of the fittest looks like. But, you know, there's a great deal more said by Darwin about love than there is about competition and fittest. And it's really about survival of the most cooperative. How can we support each other? How can we create a world where true human life shows up and true cooperation is the name of the game? And we are working to learn that, to do that, to bring that forward into the world, to bring that forward into education. I know I've had the conversation over the years with many teachers that for every dollar spent on competition games and competitive sports, we need, and every hour spent by a kid, a similar hour and dollar needs to be spent on cooperative community effort, bringing communities together and working with each other so that we build the brain cells for a world of cooperation rather than this competition, profit, money, you know, fight, war game. It's time. Jeannie, I didn't hear yesterday what Arya had said as we were coming out of the movie. I didn't hear her say that. And when you shared it with Karen and when we were on the phone this morning, it was the first time I'd heard that. Perhaps you'd share that story with everybody just as an example of, oh, this is where we could be going as humans, and it's out of the mouth of a child that'll be four in August.
Yeah, we had our local theater is giving Tuesdays and Wednesdays free movies to children and also free to whoever comes with the child. And so at 11 o'clock yesterday morning, we took her to see The Secret Life of Pets. And about 45 minutes to an hour into the movie, there were some, you know, one of the little rabbits was trying to save cats or something, and there were some big wolves that were protecting the cage to keep the big cat in. And it got a little bit vicious. I mean, they were running, the wolves were chasing them and all this stuff. And she goes, let's leave. And so we headed out of the movie, and we were walking across the parking lot. And she said, you know, we've talked about the little emotion creatures that she's got, you know, teaching her the different feelings and emotions and how to recognize them and then how to get back to love. And the one that's titled Angry or Anger, she has renamed it to Madness. And so when we were coming out of the movie and going across the parking lot, she said, they were madness. And I said, yeah, they were. And she said, I'd rather have peaceful, which is one of the other emotions, and calm. And I said, yeah, I'd rather have those too. You know, so she recognized that the movie was going in a direction she didn't want, and she wanted to leave, and she wanted to get back into a peaceful state. And so I thought that was very enlightening for her to say that. And that actually leads to a comment then, Michael, because someone, when we posted that on Facebook, someone
right.
had commented and said, yeah, but I thought that you said we needed to watch movies that brought stuff up for us. And your response to her was, you know, yeah, but you're not 3.5. So you might want to talk about that a little bit too
yeah.
here in a minute.
Well, we could go a little further than that. And yes, I suggest, and we do this as a normal process for Jeannie and I, is we will purposely watch movies that we know are going to bring things up for us. And that process is one where one is consciously doing one's work, and it's like we don't have to go out and find somebody to play it out with us to show it to us. We can do it vicariously. But and so I suggest that, you know, I'm not saying go out and watch blood and gore and all of that, but if there are movies that bring up real core issues for you, it can be powerful to breathe and be there and vicariously work through what comes up in you. And Aria yesterday was not in a space of, oh, we need to get out of here, we need to get out of here, this is scary, I'm afraid. Jesus, you know, with this monitor, just said, let's leave. That was all. There was no big deal about it. It wasn't about her resisting something coming up in her. It was about her recognition of, I don't want this energy on me. So there's a difference. And if I'm avoiding something because it's bringing something up for me, it's my opportunity to do my work. If I recognize this is not an energy that I want to be a part of, which is what she did, and I can calmly and gently and in a centered way walk out, and you know, there was no disturbance for her, there was no upset, there wasn't any, oh, I'm afraid. It was just, I don't need this, I don't want this. So there's a difference there in the way we suggest people move forward. And, you know, my take is that the purpose of the world, you know, life abhors non-life. Life doesn't want us dead. And if we hold disintegrative energies that are the energies that kill us, life says, I'm not going to let you get away with that. I'm going to send you somebody. I'm going to send you something. There's this law called the law of resonance, the law of energy exchange. And that law of resonance means that if there's something that I'm holding on to, that I don't want to own, that I don't want to deal with, then I'm going to, through resonance, bring somebody into my life to play that out with me. You know, we've talked about the law of resonance as a law of energy exchange. And if I put a middle C tuning fork in front of a second middle C tuning fork, that second tuning fork, without being touched, starts to vibrate. If I put a middle C tuning fork that's, you know, I've hit on the desk and is vibrating strongly in front of a middle A tuning fork, what happens to the middle A tuning fork? Absolutely nothing, because there's nothing in there to resonate with middle C. So when you recognize that, what resonance does is it creates motion. So if I've got a middle C tuning fork and I put it near a second middle C tuning fork, that second middle C tuning fork is going to go into motion as a result of the energy exchange. Well, everything that we think is an energy, and everything that moves, you know, if I throw a pebble in a pond, it creates waves. If brain cells fire in me on that level of energy, it creates waves. Just the same way as when I hit the middle C, you know, when I'm holding the middle C tuning fork in my hand, and it's nothing, there's nothing happening, there's no wave, there's no nothing. But if I hit it on the desk and it starts to vibrate, then that motion, literally, if you can imagine it, just like dropping a pebble into a pond, creates a 360-degree wave that emanates from the tuning fork. If it comes into the field of another middle C tuning fork, resonance demands that some of the energy of that stronger vibrating tuning fork is transferred to the weaker, and as a result, the weaker one is strengthened and goes into a motion where previously it was perfectly still. You know, if I have two baby grand pianos and I have the backs open on both of them and I hit a good strong middle C on the keys of one of those baby grands, and I look in the back, there are hundreds of strings, but the only strings that will be in motion will be the ones related to the middle C. If I go over to the second piano, there are going to be strings moving in the second piano. Guess which ones they'll be? Exactly the same ones as in the first. Resonance. Back some, I don't know exactly now, 37, 38 or so years ago, he was keynoting a conference called Global Science, did that several years. And one year, a gentleman named Marcel Vogel, who was a 23-year senior scientist from IBM, showed up at the conference. And he had a thing called the Delaware camera. And the Delaware camera is a device that's different than your regular camera. When you take a picture with your regular camera, you hit the button, the shutter opens, light energy enters, and it's registered on the photographic plate. But the Delaware camera had a tuning mechanism between the shutter and the photographic plate. So you could attune the camera just like you tune your radio. You turn it to a certain frequency, and if you just tweak it right, you get a good strong signal. Well, with the Delaware camera, you tuned the device between the shutter and the photographic plate. And if there was something in the environment that matched what it was tuned to, it would register that on the photographic plate. Now, for people who've never thought in terms of energy systems, and it takes a change of mind to move out of thinking in terms of physical things into realizing that all physical things are nothing but energy. But the one picture that I like to shock people with the Delaware camera, and I've seen several pictures taken by it, is they tune the camera properly, and they put it in front of an acorn, and what shows up on the photographic plate is an oak tree. Now, people who can't think in terms of physics and energy fields go, well, that's just ridiculous. How could you take a picture of an oak tree out of an acorn? Well, let's think about it for a moment. I'm sitting in a room right now, as you are, and if we had the tuning mechanism for it, we could be listening to channel 2 and channel 3 and 4 and 5 and 800, 820, 830, 900, 1,000 and 1,400. We could be, I mean, all of that's in the room right now. We don't have a tuning mechanism attuned to it, so we're not watching or listening to all of those different things that are happening at once, but they're there. Now, if you think about if you've ever planted an acorn, you'll notice that when you planted that acorn and it grew, you never got a squash from it. By the way, a beautiful zucchini squash, are about a foot long today. You never got a squash from it. You never got a Volkswagen from it. You never got a tulip. You never got a tomato. Every time you plant an acorn, you got an oak tree from it. Why? Because in the seed, they call it an acorn, there's a vibratory pattern. And if you can decode it, which is what the Delaware camera was doing, you could take a picture of it, and it would show up as the end result. Another shocking set of pictures that I've seen from this camera was a picture of a fetus in utero at 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and 6 months. And you can see the whole developing fetus, the whole process going on. All four pictures were taken the same day. Now you say, well, wait a minute. Now, how is that possible? Well, think about it. If I have the ability to attune to different frequencies present within this fetus, obviously, somebody doesn't go in every day and put a new program in and tell the cells that we're going to do this tomorrow, and then the next day go back in. And, you know, I mean, mom would be quite a mess if that were the process. But obviously, the unfolding or the becoming of the physiological system of the human being is done according to vibratory patterns, just like the acorn gives birth to an oak tree. And I'd offer that at conception, everything that you will ever become physically, mentally, and emotionally is structured within that sperm and egg when they come together. Minus whatever you would remove, or plus whatever you would choose to put in. And your physiology today, your so-called physical body, and of course, we're getting a good example of it. We were looking at some pictures yesterday, some early videos of Ari, and we're like, golly, I can hardly believe she was that small. We've got one particular one where there's a light and you lift the top of it. It's like a little lantern and you lift it and the light comes on. And she's probably, I don't know, what would you say, maybe 16, 17 months in that picture, Jeannie? And I pull the light at the top up and like, and she just squeals with delight when the light starts. She's just like so excited. But you know something? She doesn't look at all like that. And that's just, you know, 2 years ago. She's in a state of becoming. You and I are in a state of becoming. Our physiology is in a state of becoming continuously according to the vibratory patterns that we engage in. And now we've got choice about it. If we choose hate and fear and rage and anger and guilt and grief and condemnation and gossip and slander and vengeance and attack and put downs, then we're going to become in the likeness of what it is we're engaging in. If we choose to shift and move out of, as Ari said, you know, that's madness. I want, what were her words? Calm and peacefulness.
Peaceful,
of course she knows that. Yeah, peaceful and calm. So the upshot of this is Marcel's camera he showed us, he was able to take a picture of the high energy waves that leave the mind when we think a thought. Every thought you think is a frequency. Brain cells move, and just like the pebble dropping in the water, an energy pattern comes from it. And the energy pattern, just like the energy pattern coming out of the middle C tuning fork, when it hits another tuning fork that has a similar pattern, there's going to be motion in that other tuning fork. But guess what? There's another characteristic added to it in this human realm. If I hold a particular vibratory pattern, someone's going to not only move, but move toward me. And when they show up, they're going to tend, unless they're very conscious, to be moved by what's resonating in my unconscious. And if it's rage and fear and guilt and grief and pain, then they're going to tend to play that out. You know, you can witness that. You know, can you ever remember a time when you were going into somebody else's space, totally committed to being loving and nurturing and caring and supportive, and all of a sudden found yourself functioning like a mad banshee? What happened? You were committed to being loving. What happened? Here's what happened. The pain, the trauma, the drama, whatever it was moving in the individual you were approaching with the commitment to be loving, held a different energy. And that different energy resonated your mad banshee. You know, I've had people misinterpreted this and said, oh, so it's that person's fault who gets attacked that the person is attacking them. No, that's not what I'm saying. The person with the mad banshee is responsible for the mad banshee. The person who does the attack is responsible. Now, the person who is attacked needs to take responsibility and recognize, especially if they're doing the, you know, the title of my book, especially if they're doing a Why Is This Happening to Me Again? as creators, we set up the patterns that draw to us what happens in our world. Does that mean I'm to blame if somebody comes and attacks me? No. But it means I'm playing a part. And when I can go in and forgive, remove that part that I'm holding, then I no longer am an attractive field to draw that someone in to do it to me. Life's purpose, I would offer, because life abhors us being diseased, is to kick us right square in the limitation, to show up over and over and over and over again. And you'll notice that what started out as a nudge for people who refuse to be responsible, who blame and rage at others, notice that eventually that nudge becomes a 2x4 across the head. And life is saying to us, in essence, you are in a state of becoming. Yes, I see that you're enraged. And you're enraged because there's rage in you. And if you want your becoming to match rage, which is a disease energy, if you want that disease in your tissue structure, then you get to keep it. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to send you somebody every darn day that's going to show you your rage. And one day you'll wake up and you'll go, huh, I've been enraged 87 different times with 42 different people. I'm the only one that was there every time. Maybe life is giving me an opportunity to forgive my rage. Maybe that's what that's about. Of course, the forgiveness process is a core tool that we're offering here. I was listening this morning to podcast by a PhD psychologist who was interviewing an author of a book about waking up. And it was interesting because I was working in the garden, and so I just had it on in my pocket. It was about an hour and a half interview. And the person who was doing the interview was talking about how they had awakened and how, you know, how cool it was and how great it was and how wonderful the book was, which it was an interesting interview. But every time that the interviewer, who being a psychologist, PhD psychologist, very clearly admitted, you know, I'm not a happy person. I'm not satisfied with my life. How do I do this? How do I do this? How do I do this? How do I... And they were just like, well, you know, you just get quiet and you just kind of own what's happening in your mind. And, you know, you just let go of it. And I wanted to pick up the phone and call in and go, wait a minute, there's a technology with which you can consistently, persistently remove from your mind that thing in you that causes your sadness, your rage, your fear, whatever it is. There's a technology. And maybe it's time to engage in that technology. I mean, it's such a profoundly powerful thing that's just almost totally and completely missing from our world. The technology is called forgiveness. There's several ways that you can acquire it. You can go to our website. We've got 20,000 pages, and many, many, many of them are dedicated to understanding forgiveness. You can download the worksheets step by step. Here's how forgiveness is done. And over time, with the application of forgiveness, what you will do is you will weaken the energy waves based in any form of hostility or fear that you hold within your structure. You will weaken them until they disappear. The word forgive means remove. It does not mean let somebody else off the hook for what's happening inside of you. Are you disturbed and thinking somebody else needs to change for your disturbance to go away? Well, here's my offering. Maybe that person you think is the problem in your life is a fully conscious, spiritually realized being, and they're just playing dumb so that you get the chance to own and change the part of your mind that's creating your disturbance, your pain, and your upset. There is a state of being that is pure presence of love. It is available to each and every one of us 24/7, 365. When we live out of that, everything changes. When we live out of the energetic patterns of sadness and grief and rage and fear and control and drama and trauma and hatred and vengeance, we're not only destroying our own physiology, but we're setting up somebody to come and visit. And it's time. It's time for us to be responsible. So you can gather that information on the website. A couple dozen radio shows and videos where we've walked people through the whole worksheet process. The book study club out of London, England, Hear My Voice. We did last night again. We did the first three chapters of the book, but the two weeks before, we did about a 2.5 hour, I think it was 2-hour and 40-minute worksheet. And it's a really powerful tutorial on how to utilize the forgiveness process. So that's available to learn from. You can do the worksheet process right there on our website, whyagain.org. You can go to your app store on your phone and just type in the words Heartland, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness, and you'll be looking at the world's only forgiveness app. This app will empower you to weaken if you use it. Of course, if you don't use it, it's like anything else. It's not going to do you any good. But if you use it, this will empower you to weaken every frequency of pain or trauma from all of your generations and begin to free yourself of them. You can download and print the worksheet, so you can do it longhand. You can do it on the app. You can do it on the website. Take the tool and begin to consistently, persistently utilize it, and you will consistently, persistently get rid of states of mind of rage and guilt and grief and all the other garbage that's, you know, been instilled in us by the world. Wake up time. So, Miss Janie, we're just about the halfway point. Do we have anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anything happening in the chat room?
Nobody has a hand up. There's no question in the chat room. I was just looking at some emails that I had gotten, so I'll just share those and we'll respond
Please.
Afterwards. One of them just says, I'm extremely happy to have found the website. It's exactly the thing that my wife and I are constantly looking for. The specifics on this great website is without a doubt supportive and will help myself and my buddies a bunch. It appears as if everyone here has a large amount of detailed knowledge concerning the stuff that I'm interested in, and other links and information likewise are evident. And then there was another one. Well, also, I got from Nene. She was on the show the other day. She has now translated the Healing Crisis into Spanish, so I'll be getting that up on the website. And then there was another says, Dear Michael, Jeannie, and the Heartland team, and my name is, and I won't say his name, and I've been a student of A Course in Miracles for 15 years and studied a lot about forgiveness, but your explanation has made the most sense to me. Recent happenings in my life have thrust me into a place of complete dedication and desire to work only to increase this learning within myself and others. I'm dedicated and steadfast on this path. I'm willing to relocate and am looking to immerse myself in a life of God and this true spiritual journey as much as I can. I'd love to hear about any opportunities, both work and living, that would afford this opportunity. Please let me know if you have any questions, and thank you for your time and consideration. So I don't know if he would be someone that might be on a support team. So we'll get back to him. Then we got one from Gabrielle. Last night she was in the Yinka's book club, and she spoke with you about translating the book into Slovakian. And so we'll be getting back with her with what copy to translate and different things like that. So that'll be going on the website. And then I got another one that says, hi, Jeannie Michael. I am enjoying Yinka's Zoom meetings and meeting you. Thank you for all you do. He's interested in the Steel Point breathing. He's got the date wrong, so I need to get back to him on the next breathing date. And can you give me further information to prepare me for this practice? So I don't know if you have some information to give him there, and then I can redirect him back to listen to today's show.
Perhaps.
So it's good. We're hearing from
people. Send him the, perhaps just send him a note, you know, with the information about how to register, and let him know that as soon as he registers, he'll get those two videos to start working with the mind shifters and start the understanding of the still point breathing process. And we won't be doing that again until July. I don't know what date it is, but the second Saturday and Tuesday in July will be the dates for that. But let him know that if he registers, then we'll go ahead and get those videos up to him and get started. That's awesome.
Yes. So we have 27 minutes, 563-999-3581. Press 1. Let's have a conversation.
How can we support you? What's on your mind? If I had been on a platform in your hometown, the local church or variety show or library or prison or what have you, and talked about this idea of resonance and the high energy waves that leave the mind when we think a thought. By the way, another piece of that puzzle is not only do they resonate out into the world, but they resonate throughout the cellular structure in the body. And tend to become implanted in the cell, to become implanted in the genes, literally becoming chemistry in the cell. And if you go to the opening words in the book of John, where we're told by the Greek translation, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. That's not what it says at all. What it says is, in the beginning was the mind energy. Another proper translation is also, in the beginning was the willed action, and the willed action became flesh. In the beginning was the mind energy, and the mind energy became flesh. If you want to direct yourself and your life, your becoming process, as I talked about earlier, into the gutter, keep doing rage and guilt and fear and sadness and hate and vengeance. And, you know, if that's your pattern, and, you know, you'll get there. If you found yourself there and you want to shift it, and you start moving into different frequencies, you know, what they've shown in the cell biologist laboratory is that when you think a thought, that thought produces a literal molecule in your structure. The molecule is called a neuropeptide. And that neuropeptide landing in your structure circulates around your energy field until it finds a cell that has a receptor site that matches, attaches itself to the receptor site, and in so doing inserts itself, the neuropeptide now inserts itself into the cell, becoming part of your physiology. And if we were inside the cell watching this neuropeptide attach and land in the cell, we would say, oh, here is new chemistry in the cell, according to that new piece of information. And that's how we direct the becoming of our physiology. And if we're continuously engaging in, or if we have the generational habit of engaging in different forms of hostility or fear, then that's going to tend to lead to the chemistry of destruction of the cellular structure. that's got me by the face, then what I need is a tool with which to weaken the already existent frequencies within me of hostility or fear. The psychologist I told you about, I listened to this interview with this person who'd written a book along these lines, was just plagued. You know, she's got her PhD in psychology. She was plagued. She just was straight out with him. You know, I don't like my life. And all that he could say was kind of just a vague, well, you know, he just kind of let go. And he gave many very good examples of situations in his life. And it was like, well, you just let go. Well, you know, you just let go. Well, you use that as an opportunity to let go. Well, you use that as an opportunity. I mean, that was a repeated answer. But for somebody whose mental, emotional, psychological muscles are so cramped up around holding on to something, it's maybe been going on in family bloodline, how the hell do you let go? It's the question that there was just no answer to. Piece by piece, if your mind keeps flooding you with hostility and fear-based thoughts, as you apply the tool of forgiveness, those hostility and fear-based thoughts will dissolve from your structure. They will be removed. And, you know, you don't have to believe in anything that I say about the worksheet. If you just, with integrity, use the tool, then whatever it is you need to work through, it's going to begin its dissolution process with the first worksheet that you do. And then life proceeds to awakening. So as I was saying, if I'd been in your hometown and presented what I've presented so far today, I've walked down off the stage, I could just about guarantee that everybody that's listening now would walk over to me and say, well, Michael, what about? And they have a question. We're here for you to pick up and direct where the show goes next. What's your question? What's on your mind? You got a thought for us, Jeannie?
Well, we don't have a hand up, but I was just going to add that in the notes for today, I've added two links. One is to the Marcel Vogel and the Delaware camera. And then the second thing is we ran across this. It's a YouTube video, and it's about energy, frequency, and vibration, and they actually have like a speaker, and they sprinkle sand or salt or something all across the top of it. And then based on the megahertz of the frequency, how much they turn the volume up or down or whatever, the sand actually becomes, you know, it's like snowflakes or whatever. It's different designs, the physical manifestation based on the frequency is amazing. So I've put a link to that out there too so people can look at that.
In the interview that I did yesterday, a piece came up that we haven't mentioned for a while here on the show, and it ties right in with this whole conversation about frequency. And if you go to YouTube, just type in the words, the boy who saw, or the boy who could see with no eyes. And there's a young boy who at the age of 2 has eye cancer and literally has both of his eyes removed. This video, it's just a 2 or 3 minute video. This young man's mother determined that he was not going to be handicapped and would be able to see. He, unfortunately, he's passed now. But in the video, they talk about, or he talks about, how he refuses to be thought of as blind. He has no eyes, but he sees. He rides a bike around the neighborhood with no eyes. He plays basketball and makes points with no eyes. he walks down the street, and in one particular case, no, that the video I just gave you the name of, I think it's a different one about the same kid, but he's walking down the street with someone, and he says, over there on the left, there's a garbage can. Sure enough, there's a garbage can. It's like, you have no eyes. How can you do that? Well, when he was 2, he lost his eyes, and his mother taught him to make clicking sounds, loud clicking sounds with his mouth and his tongue. And he learned how, with his ears, to decode, you know, the eye comes in, light energy hits the eye, and the brain creates a picture. Light or sound energy came into his ears, and he learned how to create pictures off of the frequencies of sound that came back to him. He could tell what things were by the sound that they reflected, could see them with no eyes. Another good verification that the brain is what produces our reality, and all it needs is a frequency source to base it on. And we know you don't actually see, your eyes see nothing, but that your brain generates the images of the world that you see, and that the quality of those constructs of the mind is variable. Whenever the mind is using data based in the frequencies of hostility or fear, by definition, in a human system, that data is corrupt. That's how I would read what we just shared with Arya in the film yesterday. You know, it was actually The Secret Life of Dogs, or 2. And the first one was kind of cute, and Pets, Sweet Secret Life of Pets. It was cute and funny, and it was a long time ago. I don't remember it fully, but so we figured, you know, this will be cute. And Arya was just going to have nothing of it. 3.5, maybe it's a choice. You know, you think, kid, we're at the theaters. And it was interesting that, you know, she wasn't repelled by it. It was just, I don't want this. Let's go. And if more people, you know, if we look at the political scenario that's going on, if more people would just say, I don't want this. I don't want to support this. I don't want to be part of this. It's time for us to function as human beings. How different would our world be if we could look at the hostile and the fearful and the rageful and the trauma in the world and say, thank you, but I pass. I want calmness and happiness. I mean, a child of 4 is saying, in other words, she's, I want to be calm and happy. Instead of mad, instead of being involved in this madness, which also resonates the brain cells for the song by Alanis Morissette, if you haven't heard it. It's one we use in intensives often. It's called Madness. If you haven't heard that song, jump on YouTube. Alanis Morissette, Madness. And the basic bottom line of the song is, I've been blaming you for my madness, and I just realized that my madness goes on even when you're not in the room. It's like, oh my God, this is mine. It's not about you. And then we can use this madness in us as an opportunity to learn forgiveness and to return to the truth of who we are as human beings. So that's the whole bottom line of why we're here and what it's all about, Elfie. And it's time for dialogue. So if you're out there in listener land, push 1. How can we support you? What's on your mind? I mean, out of all the conversation we've had, there's got to be some room for questions, thoughts, something to share, some support that's needed. How can we support you? What's on your mind? If you're on one of those stations where we can't hear you, Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you're listening to the show. And then if you push 1, that raises a hand in the phone queue, and Jeannie will know you want to talk to us. So let's have a conversation. How can we support you? Ms. Jeannie, do you have anything else to add to the conversation?
The only other thing was, and we mentioned this the other day, is we were watching a show with Aria about the body parts, and the eyes were singing a song that they see. And she said, oh, they don't know. Your eyes don't see. Your brain sees. So she's, you know, she's even getting it that you don't see with your eyes, that you make up what reality you have with your brain.
That's pretty awesome. It's pretty pretty amazing to have Aria here as a teacher, as she pretends to be our student. She's amazing.
And she, just the last couple of days, just on her own, has picked up a pen and is writing her name. We've not been able to get her to do that. And yesterday I took her with me to visit Dad, and I said, here's a piece of paper and pen. I said, show G-Pop. That's what she calls my dad. I said, show G-Pop how you can write your name. And she wrote the R and the Y. And I said, well, what about the rest of it? And she says, I lost my 2 A's. So, I mean, she's hilarious, some of the things that she just comes up with.
For sure. Hilarious is the word. So we've got about 13 minutes left. And seeing as how we've got lots on our plate, we finished one interview this morning and getting prepped for some other work that we need to do. If we don't have any other conversation, then I think I'm going to just, I would much rather have a conversation with someone. I would much rather be offering support and fill out the next 15 minutes or so. But if nobody has a thought for us, then Jeannie, I think we can just say thank you, everybody, for joining us, and create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world, and blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.